Hey everybody, welcome to the press. It's the start of a new week, and we have the Houston Open this week to get us ready as we get closer to the Masters. I'm Ryan Balogie. Thanks for being here today, and tomorrow we will talk about the Texas Children's Houston Open, which is back on the PGA Tour schedule this year after taking last year off, moving from the fall back to its kind of rightful place here just before the Masters. We're going to talk about that today. Then we will also talk about the later on in the week, we've got another slate of tournaments. So for the rest of the week, we've got the LPGA in Arizona at the Ford Championship. We've got the PGA Tour Champions in an old LPGA major stop in Mission Hills at the Gallery Classic. We've got the DP World Tour in action at the Hero Indian Open at DLF Golf and Country Club, one of the strangest places you will ever play golf, which I think you'll find quite fascinating and interesting. So we'll talk about that as well. There's plenty to get to this week. So, all right, let's get into it. Houston Open. 10 of the world top 50 are playing this week, headed by Scottie Scheffler. They're playing a place called Memorial Park Golf Course. And Memorial Park is a Tom Fazio jam. That golf course is it's a longer course. I mean, it's 7,500 yards from the tips. It's been hosting this tournament since 2020. And it's a slog. I mean, it's not easy, but it favors longer players. It favors ball strikers. We don't have a huge set of data about it because he only had it for 3 years at this venue before not having it last year. So, you know, it's not easy, but I think we've got some decent intel on this golf course, and it's worth going kind of through all of that. Even though, you know, again, 3 years worth of data doesn't tell you everything, but it tells you something. So let's go over the top of the board, and then we'll talk a little bit about past performance on this golf course, and then we'll talk a little bit about last week, just very briefly. So let's start with the top of the table. That is Scottie Scheffler, as you might imagine. He's 3-1 to win this week. Man, that's terrible value. I mean, he was, what, 6-1, 6.5-1 to win the Players? And because the field is so much weaker compared to the Players' Championship, I mean, these are Tiger odds because he is playing Tiger-level golf. He isn't Tiger. I'm never going to say he's Tiger. But compared to his peers, he's playing Tiger-level golf. And I can promise you that in the model, he's number one by a mile. We haven't done it yet, but I promise you he is. Wyndham Clark is second, 14-1. He's been runner-up to Scottie Scheffler the last two times out. And that's the only time in the modern PGA Tour that that's ever happened, where one guy won and the same guy finished runner-up or co-runner-up in back-to-back tournaments. Tony Finau is the defending champion here from 2022, the fall. He is 18-1. Will Zalatoris, Sahith Theegala are 20-1. Jason Day is 25-1. Siwoo Kim is 30-1. Steve Yeager, 35-1. Tom Hoagie, 40-1. Keith Mitchell, 40-1. Bo Hostler, Alex Noren, also 40-1. Your 45 is Aaron Rye, Torbjørn Olesen as well. Your 50s are Billy Horschel and Patrick Rogers. 55s are Kurt Kitayama, Jake Knapp, Cam Davis. I really like Jake Knapp this week. Doug Gim is 60-1. A little disappointing last week, but did make the cut. Ben Griffin, 60-1. Luke List is 65. Your 70s are Ryan Fox and Taylor Montgomery. I'd probably pound Ryan Fox this week. Mac Hughes is also 70 with Davis Thompson and Akshay Bhatia. Your 80s are Taylor Moore, Daniel Berger, Chesson Hadley. Your 90s, and that's where we'll stop, Victor Perez, Tom Dietrich, Taylor Pendrith, Mark Hubbard, K.H. Lee, who likes the Texas golf, Alex Smalley, and Adam Svensson. Now, I think that's a pretty decent little board. There's maybe a little bit of value there. We'll come back to that value in a minute. Let's talk a little bit about this tournament the last few years. So, again, has been here since 2020 was the first year. Carlos Ortiz won on 13 under total. Jason Kokrak won the next year on 10 under total. Tony Finau won a blowout in 2022 in the fall at 16 under total, 1-4. So far on this golf course, multi-stroke victories. Now, I think Tony Finau is a little bit different. Really, these are all a little different because they were fall versions of events. And you don't get quite as many good players. You usually get more like 4, 5, or 6 top 50 players in these ones. So temper those expectations a little bit. However, I think having the profile of golfers that you do here. First of all, Liv guys kind of like it. Taylor Gooch is also a guy who's been in the top 15 here twice. So some of the horse for course guys are gone from the PGA Tour. And Tony Finau isn't playing quite the same golf, but Kokrak and Finau are kind of similar guys in terms of the power game. Ortiz is not. So maybe he's a standout. And you look at that 2020 leaderboard, and he's... you had Hideki in there, if I remember right. But let's just look at the 2022. So you had Finau, Tyson Alexander, Ben Taylor, Trey Mullinax, Alex Smalley, Alex Noren, Adam Hadwin, Aaron Rye. So, and Scotty Scheffler was T9 with Steven Yeager, Keith Mitchell, Joe Bramlett, Joel Damon, Justin Rose, and Gary Woodland. That was actually a pretty decent field. I didn't remember that. But Finau won by four again. So mix your players in here. Some guys that are bombers like Tyson Alexander, Trey Mullinax, some Scheffler, Mitchell, Bramlett, Woodland, but also a mix of guys who aren't as far, like Alex Smalley or Alex Noren, Hadwin, Rye, Yeager. So I don't think this is necessarily a particular style, you know, favor for one style or the other. So keep that in mind. But if we look at the last 3 years of when this tournament was played, so I actually have to change that real quick. So if you got 2021, 2022, and 2023 seasons when they were played. So you've got 3 years worth of that data, and you look at who's done what in the tournament. So you've got Sam Burns, who's been there twice. And he's not in the field. You've got Joel Damon, who's been there twice, fifth and ninth in the last two versions. Playing okay, had a good week at the Players. Tony Finau's been a winner here. You have really not much else to go off of. Steven Yeager, again, was ninth. We just talked about him. There is not a lot to work with here. Scotty Scheffler, of course. Alex Smalley has been here twice, though. Fourth in 2022, 15th in 2021. Different quality of player, so yeah, maybe that's your bet. I mean, that's 90-1. That's a decent bit of value, I suppose. There's just not much to work with here. Lots of one-time top 15 finishes. It's going to be a tough week. So, this is going to be a hard betting week, to be honest with you. So, we're probably going to have to rely a little bit more on current form, right? And I think there can be some parallel, between Innisbrook and here. You got to put the ball in play, but Fazio's Doak is a little bit more wide open, right? A little bit more wide open. And, it's going to be a hard week. So, again, looking at that board, Scotty Scheffler is going to stand out to people because he's one of the few horse-for-course plays. I think you have to consider continuing to play Wyndham Clark. He does seem to be in good form. I don't love him as much in Texas, but I think he can handle this pretty well. Zalatoris' putting was horrible at the Players. Again, kind of like turned back into a pumpkin. That might be something to stay away from. I do like Sahith Theegala here. Does have a good imagination. Can handle the wind well when that arrives. I do like that play, I think, quite a bit. Jason Day's been playing well. I mean, he doesn't win very often, right? I mean, he won once in the last 5 years or whatever it is. And that was last year. But it was in Texas, and that means something, on a much easier golf course, though. But overall, if you look at his form for the year, strokes gain-wise, it is very good. So I think that's worth a look. Do you believe in the bounce back? Because Keith Mitchell was horrible on Sunday at Valspar. I mean, just absolute demolition, and it was bad from the get-go. Do you believe in that bounce back, or do you think he's just flummoxed for weeks now? Tom Hoagie has an opportunity to get into the top 50 in the world. He's playing pretty good golf. I think that's a decent value at 40-1. I'm not betting Steven Yeager until he wins. I just principal play. You can bet a top 10 on him. Those odds aren't posted yet here at DraftKings. But I'm not betting Steven Yeager. No, thank you. I do like Aaron Rye a lot. I like him more than I should. But 45-1 is just not good enough for me. I'd rather play Torbjørn Olsen at that number. Kirk Kitayama at 55, I would be happy to play. I think Jake Knapp is your value of the week, though, because I think you can hit the crap out of it on this golf course, not quite with the same impunity that you can at Vedanta Vallarta, but here, you can hit it really hard, and so long as you just keep it out of water and OB, you're fine. I think he can do a lot of damage here this week. Might become a two-time winner in very short order. To that end, I think Luke List is an interesting play, too. He kind of comes out of nowhere. He has the putt pretty well. Well, he has the putt better than bad, which is what he usually does. But at 65-1, I think he's valued enough to be a good play. Ryan Fox is a bomber. He looks in a lot of ways like Jason Kokrak. Plays a lot like Jason Kokrak. I do like his style here. I feel like his game can associate well in Houston at Memorial Park, so I will probably bet him at 70-1. Tom Dietrich's kind of interesting. Had decent little players. I do like that. Do you like Victor Perez? Also, I do like the European guys being pretty flexible. Did mention Alex Smalley. He is your kind of horse for course, so to speak. So maybe he's a guy worth looking at solely for that reason. Peter Malnati just won. He's 110-1. No respect. And it's honestly for good reason. He's probably not going to do very much this week. Scott Stallings is interesting to me because he played pretty well at Valspar, which is a course he likes. That might inspire some confidence. 110-1 could be worth a look. I mean, we got to keep looking down the board here. Joseph Bramlett, again, bomber player. He should be so much better than he is. I wish he were, but 130-1 is kind of interesting to me for him. He had a decent week at the Valspar. His length should be rewarded here at this golf tournament. So I do like him at that 130-1 number. I'm going to keep liking Alex Bjork, even if it's for 1/10 of a unit, because he keeps getting in this 130, 150 to 1 range. He never seems to move up. Well, he also just, he's not a good putter. So if he ever puts it together for four rounds where he's not a bad putter, he's going to win one. I promise you that. He can do it. Gary Woodland, I think, is still too early in his comeback. Andrew Novak, 150-1, I think is worth a look. He's probably cooled off now, though, but it might be worth a look. Do you want to consider a Texan like Parker Cootie at 180-1? I mean, if you want someone out of nowhere for no good reason, there's one. I mean, we talked about last week, the Stewart Cink, 36 holes, at 400-1. It's like, oh, man, some crazy stuff's about to happen here. And then, obviously, he fell back to earth. But I think you have to consider some guys like that. Maybe Matty Schmid had decent last couple of weeks, 200-1. Again, kind of hard to bet a guy that doesn't win. Nick Dunlap's 250-1. He's going to figure it out eventually. I don't know if this is the week to do it. Bronson Burgoon's kind of interesting to me because he's a masher. 250-1 could be kind of interesting. Tyson Alexander, who played well here last year, was the runner-up, 300-1. Maybe that's a worth a look. We talked about Adrien Dumont-Deschassart, and again, early leaderboards give you hope. He was, what, 350-1 or something last week? I was like, yeah, that's going to be pretty good. And he's one under through like five holes, and then he finishes the round like three over. All right, well, that's not going to work out. That was a bad idea. Callum Tarran showed up pretty okay, 350-1. Maybe he's working his way out of this funk. Long hitter. I do like betting him at this crazy length of odds because for $2 or $3, if he hits, you're doing great, whatever your bet size is. But, I mean, even that could be like for me, a whole unit is $50 usually. So even if I had a 5% unit and he wins, you still have a nice chunk of change, more than pays for your bets. You have a nice little week there. So I think that's worth a look. Mac Meisner is kind of interesting to me at 500-1. Seems to play like his best golf in Florida, to be truthful. And he's struggling right now on the PGA Tour. He's 144th in the FedEx Cup. But he played really well last year. He shot a 59 last year on the Korn Ferry Tour. He struggled out the gate. Three missed cuts in a row, put him behind the eight ball. T53 at PGA National, first cash of the year. T23 at Puerto Rico, T26 last week. Might be figuring some things out. His opening rounds are bad. Other than the American Express, where he opened 65, that doesn't count. 74, 72, 72, 73, 73. First rounds are bad. Last three times he's played well, though, he's rallied. Second round, 68, 65, 68. Third round, not so good, 70, 71, 73. Final round, nothing to lose, 69, 67, 67. If he can just figure out first rounds, this guy's got a chance. He can play pretty well. 501 is quite deep for a guy. I think that is pretty good. So that'll probably be my weird hammer of the week. Christopher Ventura, though, oh man, they're going to get me on this. Christopher Ventura is playing well on the Corn Ferry Tour at the moment. At the Columbia Tournament, he was 65th. In Panama, he was T36. At the Abaco Tournament, T27. Exuma missed the cut. But when Cristobal Del Rey shot 57, I mean, he shot 62 that day. He has it in him. It's in there. And he hits the crap out of the ball. Oklahoma State guy. 800 to 1 is a lot. I understand. Maybe it's like a pizza bet, like a $1 or $2. They could buy a lot of pizza if it hits. Or maybe you look at him once they come out on a top 10 or a top 20 bet. You probably still get a really good number on him. I think that is worth a look this week. I know I like to bet outrights. He might be worth your derivative. Even a top 40 play. Just get to the weekend. I know he can beat people. So if you want a couple of super megas this week, it's Chris Ventura at 800 to 1. But again, I would look more 20s and 40s. Matt Meisner, though, I would consider winning and a top 20 because he's been playing well, starting to figure out how to kind of bounce back from the bad opening round. Now he needs to figure out how to play a good opening round, and we got something. So just getting on that Matt Meisner train now. The rest of the week, we will talk about, and I'm actually going to do most of the work for the week after we do this podcast because I'm traveling tomorrow afternoon, so I'm going to try to have everything ready for you, GNM members, by this afternoon, as much as I possibly can, at least. The DFS prices won't be out there yet, so that'll be a Tuesday project while I'm sitting at the airport terminal. But try to get the model out to you. Try to get everything else out to you for the week. And then we'll talk about that tomorrow. Again, that'll probably be a later podcast, to be honest with you. But I'll try to get it done. Maybe I'll try to do it after I do the model here. I don't know how it will exactly work out, but we'll get it done. You'll have it for tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, we will talk about the Indian Open, which I love that golf course. It's so weird. It's fascinating. DLF Golf and Country Club. You got the LPGA in Arizona at a new venue, new course. That'll be a little bit difficult to figure out, but it's a good field. And then we got the Champions at the Gallery Classic. Again, like 2 minutes on that. And then we'll come back to the Masters, just like we did last week. I thought that was helpful for people. The feedback seemed to be good. So we'll talk about that again next week or on Wednesday this week. All right, if you got any questions for me, Ryan at thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky, Ryan Ballingy. I'm on Facebook and YouTube at Ryan Ballingy Golf. And Golf News Net's on all of those services and handle Golf News Net. You can join Golf News Net for $40 a year. It's a great time to get involved. We're just about to get into the Masters. And if you get it now, it re-ups every year automatically at $40. But it will re-up in perpetuity at $40. I grandfather you in. Whatever price you paid when you started is the price you keep paying. So if we raise it to $50 next year or $60, you're getting it for $40 in perpetuity. I don't even think about it. So it would be a good time to get in, and it would cover you until the Masters next year. So, or just before the Masters next year. So you're getting a pretty decent little run of all the majors. Get good time to get involved. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with another show. Thanks so much for listening. I appreciate it. We'll catch you next time on The Press.